Sometimes some people view Christian radio and Christian media in general as if it's kind of a second-class citizen, if you will, as far as media outlets and so forth. But is Christian media actually having a greater impact than people realize? Troy Miller is the president of the National Religious Broadcasters, and he has some very interesting news on this front. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we welcome back Troy Miller to the program. Troy, thanks again for being with us. We appreciate it.
Jerry, it's great to be with you again.
So tell us the good news. I want some good news.
Well, the good news is that radio is still a very strong medium, especially for Christian communicators and on Christian platforms. Nearly 98% of the U.S. adults live within the range of at least one religious radio station, making it the most accessible form of media nationwide, and roughly one in four radio stations, about 25%, are dedicated to religious programming.
But are people listening to these?
Oh, well, not only are they listening, Jerry, Christians are listening, but non-Christians are tuning in. 39% of Americans who are non-Christian religious listen to religious programming, and 18% of what's called religious nuns, this would be atheists, agnostics, unaffiliated, also tune in. And that goes along with about 63% of Americans in general are tuning in to Christian media in some form.
You know, media is so important. Here we are celebrating America at 250. And during the time of the colonial era, a lot of people don't realize this, but Samuel Adams was the main guy here, where he organized something called the Committees of Correspondence. And it was a way to basically, you know, have a media to the rest of the colonies about what was going on as their rights were being, as they understood it, their God-given rights were being interfered by the British. And it helped mobilize and help lead to the revolution, which we celebrate the, again, the 250th anniversary this very year.
Yeah, you know, it's incredible. As you said, churches were kind of the communication mechanisms, one of the top mediums of that time. And yet today, I think churches are again, when we did our Barner poll last year, one of the interesting things that really came out was that 64% of Americans found Christian media as most valuable and trustworthy. Now, compare that to mainstream media, which was down at about 26% in trustworthy. So this is, I think pastors have to understand, Christian communicators have to understand the important role that we play, not only in informing society about topics and issues, but the role, the trust factor we have amongst people out there. It's really at an all-time high.
You know, it's interesting. As you're saying all these things, I'm thinking of some of these poor people. Well, the people that when they're doing the fundraising, you know, at the various Christian radio stations, and they're doing the share-a-thons and all that kind of stuff, and they're just trying to, it's almost like dragging, you know, trying to pull teeth or whatever. You're trying to get people to call in with the pledges, but arming, you know, these people with this kind of information, it's fantastic.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Not only that, Jerry, it helps our stations. It helps them in reaching their local communities. It also, it's encouraging to know how many people are, you know, just seeking out that message and looking for, you know, hope and encouragement. Those remain the most likely reasons that people would tune into Christian media. But for us, Jerry, as an advocacy group that does a lot of work up on Capitol Hill, this is also very important for us as we go up on the Hill and let the lawmakers and the policymakers and those who are doing regulations to just understand how vast and how deep Christian media really reaches into our culture and how valuable it is to our population.
Now, a lot of times these stations are AM stations, and I understand there have been some attempts by some to basically shut down AM even as a, you know, as a radio brand, band.
Yeah, not just AM. You know, there was some attempt by the electric car manufacturers to limit, you know, AM radios in their vehicles, and then that kind of spread even broader to other car manufacturers. Looked at the AM radio as maybe something of the past, but again, there's a very strong, nearly 80 million Americans out there that tune in and listen to AM radio. And recently, it's not just AM radio. Last fall, Tesla announced that they were not going to have any radio, AM or FM, in their entry-level models. And so there's a real kind of battle going, Jerry. It's really not about the antiquation or whether a radio is old or not. It's really about battling who's going to control the information that people could get to, and whether that information is going to be free to access, or you're going to have some sort of subscription in your vehicle to get that, and then you're going to have a gatekeeper on top of that information.
Some of the Christian radio stations are basically teaching and talk. Do those do okay?
They do. Matter of fact, it's almost split down the middle. 50% of the religious radio programming is music, and 50% is really teach and talk. So it really, one, I think, really adds to and enhances and augments the other. So that was another thing that came out in this Pew study that was pretty interesting. And the balance between the audience listening to both of them was about the same, again, about 50-50.
And how about Christian television? How does that do in terms of other versions of, you know, other channels?
Well, television is a whole nother piece, because there's so much competition on the television side, and there's a huge move from traditional over-the-air broadcasting, which still makes up about 22 to 24% of the viewing marketplace. But there was a study, Jerry, that just came out that the cost of streaming now. So we heard the cord cutters about cord cutters cutting their cable and telco, you know, subscriptions, and now we're hearing more about the cost of streaming being so high that to get the streaming channels you need, you can end up paying several hundred dollars a month in streaming cost. They're saying cut the stream. And there's a real rise and a push for over-the-air, antenna-based television viewing. So that really holds well for our Christian folks who are in a number of markets across with their over-the-air terrestrial television.
Is cable mostly dead these days? Cable TV?
It depends on who you talk to. Of course, the streaming market would tell you that cable's mostly dead. Cable has gone from a nearly 100% or 90%, I guess, home penetrations down to about 47% now. But it's actually been pretty stable for the last three quarters. So we may have sort of hit that plateau, a balance between people that still have traditional cable systems into their home and people that are just doing streaming.
As far as standards are concerned, for example, the issue of profanity and so forth, it seems that as we get away from the mainstream broadcast media, but even there's within broadcast television and in radio, you know, things have become more and more profane. God's name is taken in vain. I guess the standards are gone these days, or so it seems, at least in a lot of outlets.
No, you're exactly right. The enforcement of the indecency provisions that are in the regulations, now those regulations do only apply to terrestrial over-the-air broadcasting and to the cable telco systems that are out there. They do not apply to the streaming platforms that are there. That's one of the things that we have been working up on Capitol Hill and the Federal Communications is wrestling with is what regulations are going to apply to these new streaming platforms. But as you said, we've seen a real erosion in the enforcement of any of those indecency, kinds of regulations, and even just a loosening, and I should say probably almost abandonment of what is labeled as indecent today. And some of that really depends on us, Jerry. It really depends on the audience, whether or not they're going to file a complaint with the Federal Communications Commission. And we just haven't seen that level of complaint. So it's not just a shift in how society looks at it, how the FCC, the regulators look at indecency. It's been a real shift of how society looks at it as well.
And as far as Christian broadcasting that's, let's say, of a missionary nature, where they're trying to reach people in other countries and so forth, or they have within, let's say, India or something like that, there are Christians who are trying to broadcast and so forth. How effective is that?
It's very effective, especially radio outside of the U.S. Radio is still one of the top communications tools in what we might designate as third world countries. So it's the easiest, cheapest way to kind of get your message out there and transmitted across the country. Although, Jerry, I will tell you that we're working on now, there's been a crackdown in several areas, India, several across the African continent, of, you know, religious broadcasters who are very concerned about whether or not they're going to be able to renew their licenses because their Christian messages are looking more and more from these secular kind of governments, or governments that have gone, you know, Islamic, are looking at Christian messages as, you know, hate speech or hostile there. So that's one of the things that we're upping our work on, is the helping international broadcasters maintain their presence today. And another, I'll just say one more growing area there. Telephones outside the U.S., we have our cell phones, and we use it mostly for, I guess, a little bit for calls, a lot for social media and internet surfing and that. But they're really one of the primary tools outside the U.S. for a person's wallet, and financial transactions often happen all through the phones there, which means people have this communications tool with them all the time. So the rapid growth of cell phone use outside the U.S. has also made another avenue for Christian broadcasters to be able to reach, especially in the rural communities.
Well, when we look at some of the hot spots in the Middle East, I mean, right now when you and I are recording this, it's day 38, I believe, of the, Iran war, if we could call it that. But anyway, are people in Iran somehow able to get messages that are being streamed from the United States or from Europe or, you know, whatever, Christian broadcasting of any kind?
Yeah,
the internet even.
Well, some of it through the internet. You know, the Iranian regime does a lot to restrict the kinds of messages that come across the internet and that. But we have several organizations in the Middle East that are doing, you know, satellite television delivery. And satellite, again, is also another means, a method that's very popular across the Middle East. And so those are the primary methods, or some of the, you know, sort of backdoor internet that's in there. And then, of course, we have a few places where you can be on the borders next to a friendly country where you might have a Christian radio broadcaster and broadcasting into those more closed off countries.
Well, all told, would it be safe to say that millions around the globe of any, you know, any kind of, you know, person or whatever nationality and so forth, millions are being reached by Christian broadcasting at any given time?
Well, I'd say tens of millions at least are being reached by Christian broadcasters. Christian broadcasters are again, very strong around the world, you know, where there's opposition. There's also hope. And so we just had a ministry just last week that was they're launching and building four more stations across Southern Asia in a number of various countries there to reach out. So, you know, Christian communications is on the globe. I said this, I think, once on your show, Jerry. We live in the greatest time of human communications right now. Never in human history have we been able to so easily communicate around the globe, and to do it almost instantly because of the phones that are in our pockets, because the cost of doing this has really come down. And so it's a great time to be a Christian communicator, or get into that. And to remind everybody out there, if you're on social media at all, if you're on Facebook, so you have an X account or Instagram or whatever, you probably have a network of people that you influence that is at least 2 to 3 times larger than the average American church out there. And so you're a Christian communicator as well.
All right, we're out of time. Thank you for the good news and the update. Troy Miller, NRB.org. Thank you, Troy. All the best.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.